Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, welcome to the Lulz drive-through window. Brian will be taking your orders tonight. We are upgrading all sodas to a milkshake free in honor of our special guest, Travis Petty, aka Petty Theft. Brian, what's going on with this setup here?
This is the best I could do. All right, I'm on vacation, and I kind of like it. It feels like I'm, you know, fucking playing Madden or something.
It does kind of look like you look like you're a professional iRacer. You know how they have those like rigs up and you pretend like you're a NASCAR driver? That's what you look like.
Yeah. Takata Hayden.
You remember that first iRacing event they had in DFS that just didn't go completely horrible? I just remember about that.
Yeah. There were like all kinds of accidents and no one even finished the race.
One of the kids pulled out the Wi-Fi of the dad. Who was that? Like, I get Jimmy Johnson or somebody.
Someone gave up too, I think. And they had to apologize.
Bubba Wallace.
Yeah. He just like, I don't want to do this anymore. It's like, fair.
Yeah. Brian, this is just like, you got the bro house going on. We got guys grabbing brewskis behind you.
It's better and better.
He was dying to do that. He was dying to fucking get some camera time.
Yeah, I keep trying to introduce our guest, but crazy things keep happening in your world, Brian. Is someone going to come out from the cabinets?
No, I don't think. I think that's it.
That's it for the tricks.
They're going to the bar. It looks like.
All right, they're leaving you to do your podcasting with your online friends. Petty, when was the last time you were on the show? It had to have been about a year, right?
It had to be a year because you only get on after you win a million to make it, right? And I won that tournament champions last year.
That's right. Yeah, because that was, you won the League of Legends online final, and then you won the Tournament of Champions after that, right?
Yeah, it's a Cinderella story, right? Nobody respects League of Legends.
That's right. And that's why you have to come on the titular DFS League of Legends show, you know, anytime you win the Tournament of Champions.
You know, I feel like I owe some of my success to you guys. Without you guys, League of Legends would not have taken off like it did.
That's right. Yeah.
I think I do owe a little bit.
Yeah, we were just on Club Top Shot last night talking with Jennings, and he was talking about how he had gotten full-blown obsessed with League of Legends during that stretch. It seems like we all had no choice but to become obsessed with LOL DFS.
It was a lot of fun, you know. I definitely stayed up a little too late many nights, woke up a little too early many mornings to, you know, go on Twitch and rewatch him, but I got obsessed for a solid couple months there. I think everybody did.
Yeah, it was like the perfect transition into our new pandemic lives, DFS sport.
It's pretty fun. I mean, yeah, it's a solid DFS game. It's just they needed the assistant to regional captain or something like we suggest. Just a slight tweak. Maybe like a stack, like a max stack, like three mans or something. I don't know, something. That's it, yeah. Though.
So are you going to be, are you going live to, I believe it's in Arizona, right? The Tournament of Champions? Next week?
Correct. It's this weekend.
Oh, this weekend. Okay,
yeah,
nice.
It's coming up this weekend. It's the two-game Sunday football slate. It's my understanding.
Really? How do you feel about that?
I mean, this year has taught me anything. I suck at football. I hate football. I wish it wasn't football, but I mean, I got lucky last year. You just never know with two game slates, right? So we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know who I'm going to play. I've been getting hammered all season.
What? How many people are in that contest?
93 entries, I think, and everybody gets paid this year. It's no winner take all bloodbath again.
Okay. Mm. And when do you take off for Arizona?
Taking off tomorrow, doing a day with my sister in Tucson, then driving 2 hours up to Scottsdale on Friday morning.
Okay.
Events on Sunday. So there'll be a lot of fun time.
Yeah. What kind of other programming do they have lined up for you guys on like Saturday and stuff?
Well, today I got invited to a dinner at a nice sushi place. And I was wondering who's going, because they divide everybody into like 20-person groups. And Brian's good friend, Whistles Go Woo, is in my dinner group.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
There you go.
Huh?
Yes.
Don't talk about anything that can incriminate you, if you know what I'm saying, okay?
Just keep everything.
Yeah, you never know.
I watch the show enough. I know, you know, the little things you guys got going on.
That's a rumor.
I kind of believe it. He is almost too nice to be a DFS player. Usually DFS players, we all are happy for each other, but we all want to win more than anybody else, right? I get really jealous when my friends win. You know, I'm happy for them, so... He was way too happy when I won the tournament champions.
Yeah, there. Yeah. You know, no one is actually that nice. Who else did you get in your group? Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the last episode we did where him and Big T and Alex went shopping for free, and he picks the characters who are undercover agents outfit. Right? I mean, I think things are starting to add up here.
I liked what he did. I like his look. I like his look a lot. You know, he owns it. You know what I mean? Big T's got the guy trying to play basketball, still pick up all the young guys look going on with the basketball shorts always. And then Alex has got his own weird style. I'm not a fashion guy, but I like Whistle's look the most by far. It wasn't close to me.
So I think what this is setting up for is you're going to be going out to a nice sushi restaurant with him. You know, he's going to come out, you know, like a Miami kingpin. So the question is, what are you going to be wearing to this dinner?
You know, I just put two and two together when you were saying that, and I'm not happy about it now. I wish it wasn't invited. Now I got to dress up a little bit. It's still a DraftKings like dinner. You don't have to go too crazy, but I don't know what to wear. I'm not Mr. Fashion at all.
I disagree, because what the people didn't see right before we went on air was a Travis Petty costume change. And I won't fully blow up your spot, but I mean, I did get to see you making sartorial decisions in real time.
You know, it was a small decision, but the FanDuel patch was like this big on me, and I'm not sponsored by any site. It was large.
It looked like NASCAR.
It was bigger than the helmet behind me, I feel like.
It did also, that shirt, just the style has almost like the Ed Hardy vibe to it. Just like the super loud logo. So yeah, no, I think this is much more Travis on you.
Well, the problem was as well that you can only see really my shoulder, and it was the whole entire shoulder. You know, I've been working out lately. You guys, you can see my, you know, I think you wouldn't be looking at my workout routine lately.
No, but the good thing about that is you could actually see the logo. See, I have these, you know, apparel from my store. I got my my hand builder hoodie, but then I'm sitting down here and you can't even see it on stream. At least with that logo, it's just right there.
It was created for this moment right here.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
There you go. So what, how'd your DFS season go? It sounded like NFL wasn't too fun for you.
NFL was pretty poor. Basketball's been actually amazing. I think it's my best season so far.
You've been killing it in basketball, man. You've been killing
it. Yeah, I feel like I've had a lot of good results over and over. It's just I've been fortunate this season. A lot of like late hammers have gone my way. You know, last night I went to go play basketball. I'm pretty good at estimating how I'm going to do. I thought I would lose like half or so. I finished my basketball game. I look at my phone. Ant-Man has like 70 points. I'm like, this is wonderful. Profit again. It's been a lot of days like that. Kind of the best way to win.
And then NBA or NFL has just been a different story for you.
Yeah. I've tried a million different things and nothing seems to work, you know, and I've always been kind of mediocre at football. So it's not like it's a super disappointment. It kind of same old every year. You know, I hope it build a little role for basketball. I kind of break even, win a little bit. This season I'm actually losing. So it's tough. It's really tough.
What's it like in the NBA streets these days? Are you, a lot of time still anchored to your computer at night?
I mean, I think someone said 80 hours a week. Was it 80 or 70? I think 80 was 80.
The chess is okay. Yeah.
Sure. I think I'm at 70. No, I still put a ton of time, but as season goes by, you get more and more information. So it gets easier and easier for me, at least, to figure things out, you know, except during COVID. COVID was hard when the initial wave hit like five guys on every team. I didn't know what to do. There's some unique situations that you'll never see the rest of the season again. And it was really hard to project.
Yeah.
Brian, I'll say NBA this year is pretty damn tough, because if your screen name's not Petty Theft or Oxen Duck, it's pretty tough to fucking win lately.
These guys exactly just want to be
cleaning house.
I don't know what the guy's I've tried to see what he's doing. I have no clue. The guy is RNG's throwing stuff in there and it works.
He DM'd me. So I've been talking with him a little bit, but I don't know either.
Yeah, are you using your famous kind of interview techniques that you used on Whistles in the DMs with Oxenduck to try pry information out of him?
No. I decided to play it smarter this time. Let's see if I can get a little actual info out of him.
Yeah. So where is he falling? Because we have, you know, Osimo is a robot. Whistles Gowu is a Fed. Where are we at with Oxenduck?
So he told me. He told me he's the opposite of chess is okay. So take that for whatever that means.
Eight minutes a week?
That's not what I thought. Eight seconds.
Okay. That's what he said.
Maybe he's a time traveler, right? He doesn't have to do any research at all because he knows the future.
That is what me and Ricky D kind of came up with this idea that he's time traveling and he can only come in certain times to play DFS, then he has to leave. There's a lot to it.
So what is in of these different, you know, characterizations? What is Petty Theft, Brian?
Petty Theft, he's like he's kind of like a hand build, I don't know, like a hybrid 80-hour week guy, like a mix between Opto Bro, hand build bro, 80-hour week, something like that.
Is half man, half machine?
Petty Theft's a point oh one percenter. What he does, you guys aren't gonna be able to do, I think, unfortunately, for the people who like him and try to copy him.
Is that a fair characterization, what Brian tried to archetype you as?
I mean, starting off with hand builder was rough. I've only hand built one time in the last like 4 years, and that was for the Tournament of Champions, actually, because I think I told you guys a story where when I was talking to my buddy and I hand built like the most chalk line I've ever. He's like, you're gonna be duped five times in a 40-man contest. When I think I'm like, that's not going to work. So I rebuilt it like a couple of swings and I got the winning lineup, you know? So hand building maybe is my DNA. Maybe I got to revisit that a little more, but it's pretty close to what you said.
Okay. Do you know A Bizzle in the chat? He's not one of our regulars. He seems like he's on very friendly terms with you, asking when he's going to go to Monaco and confirming your hand build hybrid bot status.
I do know A Bizzle, actually. Cause I used to stream Twitch for a while. So I had guys who come in all the time. I kept saying Monaco for like 20 minutes straight until somebody, you know, I looked at the chat. I was like, and I was trying to say like how my buddy can handle Monaco because it's too expensive, Monaco. So I looked like such a douche. A and B, I was saying it the wrong way as well. It was just a bad look. And that's what I'm known for on my Twitch stream. I'm saying the wrong country, looking like an absolute ass.
I mean, I live in constant fear of that, you know, broadcasting like 10 hours a week and just, you know, I normally have a pretty good instinct of swerving words I don't know how to say with total confidence. But every once in a while, one pops up. Brian gets there with NFL players' names occasionally.
Which guys?
Yeah. It can get bad. Here's what I'm saying with hand build. Here's like just to explain with that, honestly, though, because so Pat, you do like your own minutes. Right, like rotation stuff, you know, when the coaches decide that these players are going to play for blowouts and shit like that. And I'm assuming a whole bunch of other stuff. I know he's not actually going on his cell phone and, you know, and making eight like, oh, I like him. Right. Like he's taking all that info and then doing something with it. And a lot of PGA guys actually do this, too. I've noticed lately is they have like these models they build where they go like, oh, this is a good putting course. And then they up their model and then it changes the projections for the player. Like I can't stand that. Like I don't like that strategy. I just don't think it's like scientific, but like that is different than what Pet's doing too, because he's putting in the ADH. And when you get that info, and you know what's going to happen, or you're like way more confident, that's a huge edge. And then plus whatever the hell else he's doing. So like, that's what I mean by like hand building, not like actually him.
You're very right. The confidence thing, I definitely, Jesus, that's 15 minutes to the next lock. The confidence thing is actually pretty important, because I know when shit's hitting the fan, things are going poorly, you don't trust your reads as much. You know, they're probably right. Still, you're the same player. And I used to not be a believer in confidence thing, but it's 100% true, especially when you're moving things around so much and not more of a, less of a settings guy, more of a, as kind of said, hand building kind of guy. I maneuver a lot of numbers around, manipulate rather.
You mentioned when you were talking about football that you were trying a lot of different things out. I mean, are you kind of adjusting your process even within like the small sample size for NFL? Obviously with NBA, it sounds like you don't have much to change right now, but how much in general are you thinking about tinkering your process?
I mean, so NBA, I do change stuff a lot, because especially this week, in season COVID, like it just completely changed my style, because usually I don't play the end season because it becomes like a shit show. You don't know who's going to play, what's going to happen. And now it's COVID. But back to NFL, I haven't historically been very strong. So I'm always trying to improve for better or worse. And this season, I think I did it for worse, clearly, because I didn't get my ass kicked. I've won like 2 weeks, but it's hard, because when you don't really understand like the small things in NFL, again, like Brian said, like I understand rotations, minutes, I get matchups. I'm a bigger basketball fan than football fan. You know, I read like articles on sites and they'll say like, oh, vice your A is going to go versus corner B, and it's going to be a tough matchup. I don't know any of these things, you know what I mean? So I turn to a settings guy and ownership guy. In NBA, I don't do anything with ownership. So it's just a completely different style, and I struggle adjusting to it.
You know, another thing too with NFL, this isn't like necessarily has to do with Pat, but like there's so much more, there's so many more opponents, generally speaking, in the same contest sizes, right? So like an NBA like $50 contest will have, I don't know what, 6,000 opponents or whatever. But that equivalent in the NFL is like 60,000 opponents,
yeah.
Right? And so like you think like, oh my God, I'm the worst. It's like, yeah, well, you're going to win that one, you know, 20 times less, even if you're really good. And so a whole football season, you know, 17 weeks now is like, or is it 18? 18 weeks now, right?
Yeah.
Like you could like, so I had the same thing with you, Pat. I like won like 2-3 weeks barely. In the first week of the year, I was pretty much was going to win that Millie Maker until just a bullshit fumble on the 5-yard line by Harris, the running back for the Pats. But and so I took third, but like that doesn't matter. Like you need to take fucking first. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You only get so
yep.
many shots at that. You got a billion opponents in the NFL and you just got to get lucky. You know, I mean, like there's more to it than that. And if we play long enough, obviously, hopefully we end up positive, but the NFL is a lot more, I don't hear it enough, man. And I'm glad Travis is saying it too, because it's like, it's harder than it fucking looks, guys. NFL is not the free roll it used to be.
No. Yeah. And you, so then, Petty, with knowing NBA better, do you like, you know, a normal talking point is like, well, all good stuff will be, or all important stuff will just be baked into projections. And for you, if you look at, you know, projections across the industry, are there stuff that, whether it's your own model or things you see that you think aren't baked into these that you're accounting for, or where do you think your special sauce is coming from?
Oh, there's definitely a lot of minutes issues. That's the main one. I've noticed the points per minute is getting better and better by the season. The minutes are not as good, because again, a lot of these sites, I'm assuming, do like, you know, rolling averages or some sort of mathematical computation. And it, game to game, situations and rotations will change a lot, especially if some guy, random guy's out, like the sites will plug in something and it's just not right. I don't know how to explain it, because it's very situational. But there's lots of mistakes, and obviously that works out for me. Are the objections good? Hell yeah, they are. Are they good for cash games? Yeah. Could I beat them in the cash games in my own objections? I don't know. Maybe not. But in a tournament setting, like there's, I mean, you can, if you look at my stuff, sometimes I'll overshare a guy by like 50-60% because they're just that far off in the projections.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Would you be willing to like rank the accuracy of the minutes by like ETR, Awesomeo, like who do you think's better, RG, et cetera?
It's actually hard for me to do. ETR seems
pretty good. I think I'll do it. I think like, so I know that the, you what?
I don't use all the sites. So it's gonna be hard for me to rank too many sites. What do you,
what do you use? Are you willing to talk about this? I don't know.
So I've looked at like BBM, ETR, Osmo, Fantasy Labs. What else is out there?
What was the first one?
Daily Roto.
ETR. Daily Roto. There's one. Yeah. Yeah. So those five, I think, are the main five NBA ones that people use.
Pretty much. Yeah. RG. RG has individual stats now. They didn't before.
Yeah. I've never used RG for anything. I'd say that the more recent the site is, like ETR being the more new site, I think the more recent the site is, the better they are. If that makes sense.
Would your you just, because you have, it's such a saturated market that you have to really work hard to differentiate.
That's a good way to put it. That's actually a really good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like how the world works, guys. But yes, that's totally true.
Yes. Dinosaurs are slowly, we're all dying. I mean, if you look at a DFS late 2017, even like the really good players, like a lot of them are dead. That's just how it works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit. I mean, 2015, who's left? Not many. A couple guys.
Yeah. Guys like this is good. We come in and we all just slowly die off.
Whistles as big in the NBA street, in the NBA streets, or is that not his strongest game?
He plays fucking everything. He just fucking shovels everything, every lineup into every fucking entry.
I don't know how he does it, man. Obviously, he's not going to tell us how he does it. I'd love to hear. And I don't know if he's transitioned to like potential site because he's starting to like do Twitter and has his own logo. I don't know what his plans are, but he just seems to crush it all. And again, I'm like a one sport pony more or less, but him, he plays every sport. I don't know how he does it.
How much
and
of
he,
it?
He is very different. He's very different. Sorry, Pete, but he's very different in the NBA. I don't know if Pat, if you agree with me here, like his exposures can get out of hand. If you like, I don't look every day anymore. You know what I mean? But like, I've looked this year a decent amount and I was like, who the fuck is he playing? Like, he's like, what, like, wait, like, I'll put you in, you know, you, Alex B, blah, 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 Ox and Duck, blah, 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 and he'll be dramatically different.
Yeah, I actually don't look at him in NBA. I know he wins a lot. I don't look at people very often in general. If I look at people, it's more like the OGs that have been around forever, like the Gene combos. Who are the guys? Chipotle, the Kobe four MVP combo, that group. The
Raging Phillip, maybe.
Yeah, that's another combo of guys that, you know, may or may not collude. They're good defense players, though. But yeah, I think they collude, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are we going to do about that? Yeah, like, we're trying to, like, just see what they're doing. Like, Raging Phillip. Who else is on there? Or who's so running hot? Like, someone who's running hot, I'll take a look.
Yeah, but, like, you know, those guys have been on forever. They're good NBA players, and I know that. So sometimes it's hard for me to tell if a guy's good or not if they just have a recent run. But those guys have been around forever, you know.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm bringing up with – sorry, people. I'm bringing up – on a slight delay, guys, here. So sorry.
Yeah,
with Whistles is – so he's also – you know, he is pretty relatively new compared to us. And in NBA, like, it's kind of hard, especially in Showdown, like, to get – that different because it's the NBA, you know what I mean? It's not, you're not going to have a pick six or something like that. And so to be so dramatically, and when I'm saying dramatically different, I'm not saying he's fading like a 70% owned guy to zero. Like, you know what I mean? He might go like 40 or 30 or something, but like when everyone else is at 70 and he's at 30, like that's a big difference normally from the top players and especially in the NBA. Especially in the NBA. I'm trying to just emphasize that point. Sorry, Pete. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I don't even remember what I was going to say. I think I was going to ask, like, when you know you're really dialed in that you're in that basketball is your strength, how much of it for you, like, playing NFL, playing this other stuff is like, yeah, I have an edge, or I'm just a bit of an action junkie and I just want to be in the mix with these games, knowing it's not like I'm, you know, way behind, you know, the top players. How do you think about that dynamic?
Oh, I'm not as bad as some of the guys, but I definitely like the action. Like week one, I'll go pretty heavy, especially compared to my skill level. And then by week two, when I get inevitably crushed, I always realize, like, chill a little bit. This is not what you do. Like, this is more just for the fun of the game, because, you know, you see all the big prize pools and I just want to max everything. And I always get humbled after week one every single season. So I dial back pretty quickly. But if I'm doing well in basketball, like come Sunday when there's three basketball games and like $3,000 of action on both sides. I'm like, no, let's give football a try again. And I think, what, like 3 weeks ago, I did that again. And the bad thing for me is that not only do I watch the football games, it'll be like 1 p.m., which is 2 hours from Sunday lock basketball. I'd be like, you know, I don't feel like doing it anymore today. I don't want to watch football. You know, so it's like a double whammy. I lose football, and I don't even play with the sport I actually make money in.
Yeah. Are you do you bet props, NBA props too?
No. So I'm a California guy. So we're many years away from props and all that. And I know it's really profitable and I'm sure it'd be wonderful, but like the whole entire getting limited and trying to make new accounts and stuff. Like I know guys who do that. It just seems exhausting. It's like sales, you know, finding new accounts. And that's not what I want to do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You need to hire like salesmen to like build up that side of your business just so you can get your fucking bets down.
Yeah. And then I don't care to do that.
You know, you highlighted Jake's comment earlier with Whistles Go Woo. So like, I haven't been in the NHL streets a ton lately, but like, he's playing like double. Jake, correct me if I'm wrong. Like defenses at flex and stuff. Like kind of common no-nos too in NHL. Like just these like pretty noob constructions. And I don't know, Jake, is he winning in the NHL? I'd like to know that too. Because you know what can also happen too is like what Petty just described with NFL is like almost like verbatim how I feel about my NFL experience, especially last year. Is you could run hot and like you're just your bank. This is a humble brag or whatever, but like your bankroll is so big, you're like, well, I'll throw fucking $6,000 in here. You know what I mean? Like, who gives a fuck, right? And so it's like NHL. But like you could, honestly, you could do that in 2017. You could probably do that in 2018. I mean, as long as like you were, you know, halfway decent, you're probably like just the variance alone, you might win. But nowadays things are different.
Yeah. It's tough.
Jake confirming, yeah, he was playing three defensive lineups a lot last year. Haven't seen it a lot this year.
No, maybe he updated. Okay.
Well, and the thing, I mean, I remember talking to you about hockey earlier this year, and I think you had said, Brian, that kind of like the prize pools versus the time investment for you just wasn't quite there. I mean, how is the time investment there for Whistles? Like, that doesn't check out for me.
He must have his coding down so solid that it's like 15 minutes of work or something. He just copies. Downloads the CSV from Awesome. Here's what I'm guessing. Downloads the CSV from Awesome, uploads it to his program that he's built over working for as an adjunct professor for so long, and clicks enter and goes, and he just codes it all beforehand.
Petty, if you could know exactly any player's process, a DFS player's process, you just get to peek behind the curtain, who would you choose?
Any sport, any guy?
Any sport, any guy.
I would be the third Chipotle bro in football. Those guys are destroy football year after year. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of luck in football. And it's also easy for me to say because I get my ass kicked every year and I think I know what I'm doing. But yeah. Those guys win every year. I don't get it. It's incredible. And, you know, that's what I would choose. Probably the third Chipotle brother.
That's
I feel it's a good mental trick to just does it, if I'm losing, it's luck, and if I'm winning, it's fucking all skill, baby.
It's the most dangerous.
I think I'd have to. No, it's fine. It's worked for me for years. It'll work. I'm kidding. But I do like to use that joke. Chipotle brothers, how can you go wrong there? But like, what about Ox and Duck? Wouldn't you want to peek under the radar for this run he's on?
No, because I feel like he plays so bizarrely. He might like throw me off with his, he might be in a whole different level. He might be the best player in DFS. I don't know, but I feel like I wouldn't understand him. Like, I go, how, like, I don't get what he does.
I'm guessing he's doing something on, you know, like just purely like algorithmically or through Sims or something, just stats based, which is why I'd want to see it.
I think we have to update Time Traveler now. I think we have to go with, like, you know, Alien from a future race. So maybe we can kind of mix those two where he comes and Petty's trying to communicate with him and they just literally can't find the words and the language to connect.
What was that movie?
Oh, yeah.
People or whatever.
there's been a few rival like that. Yeah. Yeah, that would be it. The Chipotle brothers are, yeah, because I guess how much of the
Axe and Duck is that squid creature?
Yes. Oh, a rival,
Patty
Thapp right?
has to talk to him.
Oh my God.
You put, why 80% LeBron last night? And he's throwing his ink blots.
Oh my God. Now I'm looking for, I have to pull this up just because this image is, I need someone to do this Photoshop, which will be like the niche.
Pet's the first DFS player to take off his, that's the first DFS player to take his hazmat suit off. Yeah. That's Oxen Duck on the left.
Oh my gosh.
And Penny that's like, why did I choose him as the guy I get to peek behind the curtain? It's literally a shape-shifting
meanwhile, I
form.
I just drive over to Martin's house in Chicago and then like, hey, hook me up, guys. What's going on?
It's just the God. Chipotle brothers like just drinking beers, just like building lineups on their phone.
It's like, no, dude, I don't know. Just do this.
He's a normal guy too. Like I've hung out with a handful of these you know, players. He's Chipotle Bros are a normal guy. At least Papa Gates is. Some of these other guys, they talk their algorithms and programming to me. I don't have a clue what they're talking about. So it essentially is me talking to an alien.
Brian, I feel like you could kind of be the mediator, right? Between those worlds, you speak a little bit of squid and a little bit of handballer.
Oxen Duck is on another level. I don't think I could handle that. I could handle like the step below, like R and Python or something like that. But once you go to the squid stuff, I don't think I can handle it.
There you go. I guess we got to get. I now really the greatest bit would be Oxen Duck agreeing to come on the stream, and then just instead of his camera, just an image of that squid thing. Oh my goodness! AJ says the secret is float tanks before building a lineup. There you go.
That's what he does.
I don't understand that either. I've never done one, but I would.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know you're supposed to like relax and stop thinking. It wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. If you are not used to meditating, it can be painful. Do you have stuff you do? Cause I feel like that's more popular, like in the poker world, the kind of life hacking stuff, you know, the guys doing the big intermittent fasting, meditation practices like that. Do you have stuff that keeps you centered, through long NBA seasons?
Not really, you know, I mean, I play a lot of sports, so that helps a lot. You know, it takes my mind off and whatnot. But no, I don't meditate or any of that stuff. I can't do that. I've tried. It's brutal. It's really tough for me.
Do you find yourself like? I mean, we joked about Brian never going on vacation. He's finally on vacation. Which, by the way, Brian, have you been not playing DFS this week?
Yeah. Well, I did a few PGA lineups. Hands up.
On your phone.
On my phone, yeah.
Nice.
Really? Are you going through withdrawals right now?
After Ship My Money won, I've decided PGA DFS is completely random. And I just started fucking clicking buttons.
I saw a screenshot. What did he win? Was it the big, what was the contest he won?
Yeah, he won the 150K up top, and then he won the $5, which was 25. So like 180 something total.
There you go. And what has this been like? Because when was the last time you've gone this long without playing DFS? It has to be a while, right?
Oh God, I don't even know.
Yeah, and you're handling it all
right? I'm sure a couple days had to happen. I don't know.
Yeah,
his hands are shaking right now. You just can't see them. Withdrawals.
I keep myself medicated here with some Corona seltzers.
Do you find yourself bored? Do you look around and the world feels so bland without action?
No. Well, the thing with NBA is the thing right now, right? And so I don't want, like, I'm not going to pay attention all night. First of all, I don't have my computer here, and I'm not petty theft, so I need my computer. And like, I'm not going to spend all night I'm not going to spend all night, you know, like looking at my phone till the timer goes off to see if Corey Joseph's going to get 24 minutes or 28 minutes. You know what I mean? Like,
Whit, Petty, how many NBA slates do you think you take off, when was the last time you had a DFS break?
I don't take slates off. So I should say that I don't play late slates almost ever or showdown. I don't want to say stressed out, because I feel like relatively I don't get stressed out. I know some guys are just out of control, you know, getting frustrated and whatnot. I don't think I get too stressed out, but I take the late slate off because I like to watching the games. I get too invested in that, and I already have enough money in play. I don't need to put another $3K in play. But the main slate, almost never. Like, I always joke around my wife, like, yeah, I want to take a vacation. I'm like, we're going to Scottsdale next week. She's like, that's for a DFS event. That's not a vacation. I'm like, you know, to me it is. We're going to basketball finals in March. We got two more coming up. So we got plenty of DFS vacations. Enjoy them.
Can she enjoy them, or does she hate being the plus one at those events?
No, she enjoys it. You know, yeah. For some reason, she still enjoys being around me a lot. I don't understand it, especially at these events. And she hangs around with the boys, you know, which I also don't really understand. But she has a good time. She understands it. You know, we do stuff outside of it, right? We'll go to a nice dinner. Like, we have massages planned. We're going golfing at the Scottsdale one. So we got some stuff planned. It's fun.
I don't know why.
Did she ever build a lineup?
Oh, here you go.
She did. You know, the problem was we did this two, three years ago. Her name is Miss Paytuff. Before we got married, so that was an aggressive play by her as well. But she made some lineups. She would have one lineup against my 150, and we played like low stakes GPP, and I kid you not, she would beat all my lineups like 20% of the time, and it got annoying. Where she'd be like, "Oh, why don't you play these guys?" I'm like, inside, I'm like, they're the worst plays. I don't know what you're thinking. She's an Optobot, you know. But it really hurt. It honestly, the ego got hurt multiple times when she played, and I didn't make her stop, but I kind of hinted at like it's too much.
That's I don't know why, but I'm picturing like Whistles Go Woo just being the third wheel for you and your wife, like this entire trip. Like, after you guys have the dinner, now he's out on the links with you. There's the third table for the couples massage out there. I feel like this is what the Chasing the Goat, the sequel, I need is him three wheeling your Scottsdale weekend.
I mean, he's a nice guy. We wouldn't mind having him along, you know, and he's got his three buddies. So I don't know how much we're going to see him there. He took his dad to last year's one. Seems like a really nice guy. I'd love hanging out with him. Jesus.
I think you're going to have to report back. You're going to have to, you know, play the friend angle, but really you're actually collecting information. You're doing PI work for Lulz.
I mean, I'd love to ask him how his process, get more into his life, but you know, he drinks Bud Light from what I've seen. It's tough to get drunk off those things. I don't know how much information you got off those.
Yeah, I know. I guess we haven't seen yet on Chasing the Goat. We should have asked Alex if Whistles ever gets hammered. We know Big T gets hammered, but Whistles, maybe he might be the guy that pretends like he's kind of drinking, then gets everyone. That's what a Fed would do, right, Brian?
That over under, like, or I'm sorry, like minus 600, he gets fucking toasted. Just by judging.
I think it's all a ruse. You know, the draft teams, the inaugural Whistle Goes Woo. All right.
I'm laying heavy money on yes.
Okay. What else do you have on tap for your vacation down here, Brian? You've been just hanging out, golfing, fishing?
Yeah, hanging out. No, the weather's actually been pretty bad. It's like rainy, 65, 70. Which it's minus 14 in Chicago right now, feels like. So it's great compared to there. But yeah, I might golf tomorrow. We'll see. And then my brother lives around here too, up just north of Tampa. And so he's going to drive down here on Friday, hang out. And then I want to watch MMA. I love watching MMA now. So we'll probably go to the bar MMA Saturday. Other than that, no plans.
Did you see my screenshot in the Lulz Discord from Saturday?
No, I must miss it.
So I was with my college buddies in Tahoe for the weekend, and we're just, you know, watching the games and betting on stuff. And I was like, I'll free roll the group. I'll hand build a MMA lineup for us. And one of my buddies is into MMA, and he liked both the underdogs in the 2 5-round fights. So we penciled those guys in, and then I just kind of ran the optimizer around it to see, you know, what else went in there. So my quasi hand build Opto Bro solo, or not solo, tied for first in the $100 single entry tournament that I free rolled my buddies on. So they're just going absolutely wild. It was like $2,000, but for that on a hand build one lineup in like the purest of sweats too, like having all winners going into the final two and then having underdogs for those fights. It was like one of the most enjoyable sweats I've ever had.
Oh man. MMA is the best, like one of the best sweats definitely in DFS. And you solo too.
I got duped with one other person. So
that's fine. We'll under five's fine.
Do you do any MMA, Petty?
I did for briefly. I wasn't very good at it, and I enjoy watching it, but it's a lot. It's a lot of matches, a lot of fights. You know what I mean? So it's not really for me, but the talking about going to the bar and watching the games thing, I don't do it very often, but it reminded me this Sunday I actually did take a slate off intentionally because it was 9 NBA games. It's too much work for no money because NFL. And so I get to the bar for me and my buddy and I, and there's one guy watching the TV there, and he's watching the Chiefs versus the Bills. And my buddy, like, that's bizarre. That game's not on. So we get to the bar and we're talking to the lady. We're like, can we get the Rams game on? And he overhears. He's like, wait, that game started? We're like, what? It's the first game of the day. And this guy did not realize he was watching last year's Bills versus Chiefs playoff game. I felt so bad for the guy because I could see his embarrassment. And I kid you not, within 5 minutes, this guy, he'd probably been there for hours. I feel like within 5 minutes, he got his pizza and just left. Like, I think he just out of embarrassment. Just, he couldn't.
Petty, you just passed up a generational opportunity.
No. I know you're going to say, I talked about this. I'm like, if I was a bad guy, a very bad guy, I'd be like, got a weird vision of what's gonna happen with him.
Yes, you're gonna just slowly, you know, first you give one up, you know, on what you you're checking the score here. Oh my god, you could have fucked with him so much.
I felt so bad for the guy because again, like, we didn't know the TV channel because we was some other station, and he's like, oh my god, it's right here. I'm like, that's not it, that's not the right game.
you just wait for him to do like one hot take. Right. And they go, oh, you think you know a lot, do you? You think you know a lot? You're not even watching the fucking game, you idiot.
I love that. How like pure that is too, because he's clearly kind of in his own sports bubble. Lots of indicators to tip him off that this wasn't this year, but it was like, you could just picture him telling his wife, like, I'm going to the bar. I really just need to get out. I really want to watch this game. Everyone tells me about it. It just gets to the bar. That is so good. You really have to be under an NFL rock not to pick up on that.
To be fair, the game was later on today. Josh Allen and Mahomes were the QBs. I don't know if the game was in the right area though. I probably was. Was that Chiefs? But,
yeah,
it was hilarious. I don't see that.
That's a little too fair.
Yeah, it's like something you like dream about, like as a joke, like some guy just watching the wrong game and from previous year. It was perfect. It was perfect.
And I like how he just had even too much shame, you know, he just had to eject from the situation. He's like, these guys will not treat me like a man.
Right after we turned the game on and he's like, kind of like small talk. I was like, oh yeah, I love, this is a great game. I can't wait for it. I'm like, you have no idea, man.
That's good. So did you have any action on the games with your buddy, or were you just in it like a true fan hanging out with a pal watching the game?
Just hanging out with my buddy, you know. I played the Millie Maker, but like I had no chance. I was just enjoying it for fun, hanging out with my friend. It's not often, you know, I could go out in the middle of the day and do stuff during NBA season.
I know, I was wrestling with that because I was with my buddies and we normally meet up for divisional round weekend to watch the games. And I'm normally, we'll do like one big bet a game collectively. So we have like a group sweat. And I relapsed a little on, it must've been Sunday morning when I saw there was major overlay on the Yahoo Baller. And I was like, let me just quick, you know, run 25 lineups and toss them in here. So that was my only moment of breaking, but generally I can enjoy a weekend without DFS like that.
It's hard for me. Especially in NBA, I can't do it very much.
Yeah.
I just don't watch sports.
Oh, yeah, Brian actually hates sports.
The island games are brutal. All the stuff I used to watch as a kid, I just don't really watch anymore. But I watch MMA, Red Zone, PGA. That's about it.
Yeah, PGA I got PGA during early COVID too. You know, I was one of those guys. And I'm on your team of it being completely random. Because I remember first week I played pretty good. I'm like, maybe I'm really good at this game and these people don't know what they're doing. Next 3 weeks I play the high stakes. I go first, second, first in it. I think I'm like God's gift to golf. Like I know exactly what I'm doing. I punted that off within 2 months, going negative 100 just about every single slate. I'm like, you know what? You don't have a clue what you're doing, and it's time to go. You had your fun. It's just it's time to kind of move on.
The edge in PGA was previously was first of all, there was no projections anywhere, like anything. So that helped big time. And then also it's like super popular. Like it's very, very popular. DFS PGA with like just no, you know, people who don't gamble, don't know anything about it, right? Yeah. Like, and so like that's your edge. Honestly, that was the biggest part. It's just like there's just so many. So you just want to enter with so many people because it's not like baseball, you know what I mean? Like or something like that where you can stack and play an ownership game or something like that. Like you could do a little bit of that stuff. There is some stuff, but yeah.
And also with golf, I think it's a good DFS sport because, you know, a lot of older people play golf with disposable income. It works out perfectly in that regard. And I have a lot of buddies who don't play DFS at all, but they enjoy playing golf DFS. You know, the one sport they'll play, they don't play anything else. And they enjoy baseball. They enjoy other sports, but golf's the one thing they'll do. It's a fun 4-day thing. You know what I mean? Speaking of, do you guys play? I know, Brian, you say you play golf too. I just got into it more.
I messed around a little during the pandemic when we were kind of firing at everything, but I don't think I was good at it at all. And I don't think I've ever had, you know how like when you play real golf and you have that one good swing and it keeps you coming back every time. Mm-hmm. I never had the DFS version of that. Like one good lineup that made me come back. It's just like always getting dusted. I'm like, this isn't fun.
I mean, that's a good point. Maybe if I got smoked instead of getting hot, running hot early, I wouldn't be as into golf. And then I got into it kind of because of that actually. So yeah, that's a good point.
I love golf.
Are there people who I wish I was better crush at it? PGA DFS, I should say. It seems like you know, you guys talk about like, oh, Oxenduck and Petty crushing NBA. I feel like I never hear like this guy's fucking crushing PGA over an extended period of time.
I don't know. There are guys who like in my like Brett Favre, I see he's been there. Here's one way I do it is just like, have they been here the last, whatever, 7 years? Cause if you are, and you're still around, you're probably pretty good. Right. Like, isn't that like I'm not like paying attention that closely, but yeah, like, and I think that Brett Favre guy's from that group, Pete, that gambling group that, Shane Rufus Peabody.
Really?
That we talked about a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I forgot their name again. Seville.
Oh, Seville. Yeah.
Seville. Yeah. I think he's in that group. Who else is good at PGA? That's up there. You know, actually I'd have to go look at some tournaments, but, it's very random just inherently. It's golf, right? Like the balls, you guys play golf. The ball's going to get taken by the wind or something. Weird shit happens. A golfer who's trash can easily win. That doesn't really happen in the NBA type of thing. You know, like, so that's just, I think that's just inherent in the game, but that's good because it keeps the poor players coming back. It's like, but golf has just gotten bigger and bigger. Like even this week, Farmers Insurance Open, it's like $800,000 prize pool or $850,000 prize pool. Like that's big. Like is that like the third biggest sport? Probably. And it's not all the DFS guys, and it's not all the content being put out there. They're not talking about all the, you know, the shit constantly. It's not as big of edge as the other sports like it used to be, in my opinion. You know, I'm no expert, but I'm pretty good at PGA. Well,
that does check out for me because I have buddies who don't play DFS but are huge into golf, and they'll toss in DraftKings lineups for at least the majors.
It's the easiest shit too. Yeah. It's no captain. Six players done.
Yeah.
And you'll see it's always tooth. Like you look at the lineups afterwards, it's always like 49.9 or 50K every single lineup spent. Like they're not wasting a penny. That's like a lot of hand builds.
All right, Petty. Liam said he's thinking about getting into learning PGA DFS. He wants a 1 minute TLDR PGA DFS for dummies. What do you got for him?
God, the simplest thing is just pick the guys who win. That's the way to win. Okay. I picked 2 weeks. I picked some random like 6K golfer who got top five. And again, I thought I was the smartest guy ever. And a lot of people were, I'm in a couple of DFS groups and they're berating me like, why are you playing this guy? I'm like, I don't know. That's what spit it out. I have no clue what's coming out. What do you want me to say? I am the worst PGA DFS person to ask. I got very lucky. I'm not good. Just hope to run hot. That's your 30-second.
Brian, Greg asking, I feel like we had this conversation a long time ago. He's asking about correlating golf lineups. So I don't know if this means like tee times with weather situations, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's like two that off the top of my head is the weather one's obvious. So, and I mean, that is, can be significant, but like you have to really pay attention because like this week they're playing on two different courses, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the weather at the two different courses and stuff like that. And it needs to be pretty significant gusts to matter at all. But if there are significant gusts, then it could matter. But then it's also like it's weather. So it's pretty random in itself inherently. So like you'll go, okay, I'll take all the 8 a.m. tee time guys. It's like the weatherman was off by 2 hours, 3 hours. So now all the guys I took are actually in the mess and I'm fucked. You know what I mean? So yeah. Like that can happen too. And then there's other random ones, you know, maybe you could take this and run with it too. But like people always say that people play worse with Tiger because of the crowd chatter and stuff like that. Well, maybe go do the research and plug all that info in there and see if that's true. Maybe there's something to pairings. Maybe there's something to play with Bryson because he takes so long, blah, blah, blah. Like you could, when there was no sports during COVID, me and Pete, we were doing a correlation on like the Bush brothers in NASCAR and like, do they cheat with each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, really far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, Brian was sending me over some matrices here with the Bush brothers. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's what the fuck else are we supposed to do? I mean, come
on. Petty, you said for NBA that you don't really look at ownership or factor it in. Do you when you're doing NFL and PGA or other sports?
I look at ownership a lot more in those sports for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, and coincidentally, I'm a lot worse in those sports. So maybe the ownership sucks.
Yeah, it's just being in your kind of own tunnel vision on stuff. But I guess it's probably harder if you don't have a defined process for those other sports like you do for NBA.
Yeah, well, you got to keep in mind as well, the one issue with ownership is that if everybody's using the same ownerships, there's a mistake on something, everybody's going to make the same mistake. And it's going to, so some guys overown, or some guys, you know, should be 20%, whatever, something mild, but it comes in at 5% on Osmo or whatever site. And then everybody sees that, like, oh, this guy's on 5%. I got to smash him. All of a sudden, this guy's 40% or something ridiculous. And you're like, what happened? The site said 5%. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
Or they don't update it fast enough.
Yeah.
So, like if it's 10 minutes before a lock, they leave him at 70% when actually he's going to be 20 or something.
Yeah.
Somebody gets ruled in when we thought they were out.
It's important to do as many things by yourself as you can. The more you rely on other stuff, you know, especially in NBA, like someone comes out 5 minutes before lock. I think today, like the Brooklyn news came out like 6 minutes before the next lock where Harden was out. And then I can just imagine a bunch of people just sitting at the computer like, you know, refresh, 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 refresh. And it's not going to come.
Yeah. The one time it came for me, because I'm the refresh, refresh guy. It was when we had those, was it the iRacing? I think it was the iRacing where the, wasn't it the starting positions would get reshuffled 20 minutes before, and Brian would run his stuff, but Osimo would actually update those on the site. And if as long as you just updated and reran your stuff with that, like it was a print fest because 90% of the field wasn't updating their stuff.
Yeah. It's
like,
crazy.
You are at the mercy of other people doing it.
Yeah.
That was a huge edge. That was a huge edge.
Leave it to Osimo, the robot, to do it for everyone else and get all of his lineups in time. What was the other thing? Oh, you said you bought a CryptoPunk.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, I'm not a big NFT guy. I think we went through this conversation last time. I was anti Top Shot. Brian was let people do whatever the fuck they want guy. And I have no exposure to NFTs really. I took a couple stabs, went really poorly. And I figure, why not get a little punk exposure? So my buddies, a bunch of real life buddies and I went in on a punk. It's fun to have something, you know, with my good friend group.
Yeah. So did you guys get like a floor punk?
We're not that ball.
Was it like a good time to buy? Because I mean, obviously, if you're paying in ETH, it's a pretty good time to buy.
So I'm still not, I do crypto, but I don't call myself a crypto guy. I still do everything in the dollar, right? I don't care if as long as the dollar is like a low dollar cost, it doesn't matter to me. So we bought at 161 and actually we bought it at a good time. It's like 190 for a floor one. And we bought it 4 days ago or something like that. We got pretty close to low.
Your timing had to be good because I think it was even just yesterday, the sales bot was ripping. There was all kinds of action going on yesterday after things had been pretty quiet for a while.
Yeah, it's at 194 now for the floor, and we got a 160, 161, yeah, maybe a little higher. And we're up in ETH as well for those guys. It's just pure luck in that regard. And you know, we don't know like timings and whatnot. You can't time the pump market. With the apes overtaking them and whatnot, and I'm more of a believer in what came first rather than like the hype machine. So it just seemed like a good idea to buy the punk. And I have some other real life buddies who've had punks for a while, and they tell me how awesome it is and whatnot. I was like, why not? I don't want to be left out forever.
So you did say you went in, you fractionally own it with a couple buddies.
Six buddies and I, you know, I'm the majority owner. So if I'm ready to sell, it's time to go. But it's nice to be able to share some with your friends.
Yeah. And if you, as someone who owns 1/5 of a CryptoPunk, if you need my MS Paint services to make you a custom avatar, because God knows you can't make it your full avatar when you don't own all of it, I can get you a nice sliver, in a majority sliver, I should say, based on your how much you own.
I tell you what, we could use a lot of help because I changed one thing to it, and I think I lost like two of the three features we have just because I did such a poor job of putting it in a picture.
Oh, really?
It was not good.
That's hilarious. What are the traits?
What's the thesis behind the play here? Like, are you going to hold it?
So it's Punk 7484. The thesis is I wanted NFT exposure. NBA's been going pretty well lately, so I had a little extra money, and I don't believe in most of the NFTs. I think a lot of it is pump and dump stuff. And
this one?
Yes.
It's clean. I like the clean ones.
It's a very basic punk, but yeah, you know, that's the kind of guy I am, basic guy. And I just want mainly I want exposure. My buddies and I have been talking about it for a while. It got really cheap. I was like, let's just do it. And we all went in on it. So it's been good so far. Everybody's so friendly as we're up.
I like it. It's fun. It's fun to be in the mix with that stuff. We haven't had before there were some airdrops, you know, specifically for punk holders. You know, there was the Mii Bits, and that ended up being like a 5 or 6 ETH windfall if you sold that. So it's nice being in the mix. You never know what kind of other airdrop goodies might come along to punk owners as well.
Exactly. And you know, I a lot of smart people seem like that I follow on Twitter seem to be punk fans. So, you know, follow smart people that know a lot more than I do.
Yeah, we were talking about it with Jennings last night, even. You know, because there he sold an ape. He had bought and sold an ape, but hadn't even considered selling his punk. But both because of his investment thesis, but also now he feels synonymous with that. The avatar, he has an emotional attachment to it. Makes it a lot harder to trade stuff. Which even like our newest punk, like I haven't even put it up or done anything with it. Partly because I'm still so scarred from making content around our last punk and then selling it and just feeling sick to my stomach about it.
You know, I know a lot of people get the punks as like the profile picture. That was not my play. I mean, you saw the picture. We have some resemblances, but we're not perfect. It was more just like an investment play. And again, just like punks being the first big NFT, a lot of smart people on it, including smart real life buddies, and then a chance to do something with my real life friends. You know, everybody's a decent investment in them to care enough. You know, it's not like we went in on like a 5e thing where everybody's like, you know, if we lose, it's not the worst thing ever.
Yeah, Jeremy talking about, did you guys see that segment with Jimmy Fallon and Paris Hilton talking about their Bored Apes?
I didn't see the segment, but I did see it. It's cool for people with apes, right? It's exposure, but it was weird.
It was so weird too, because they're both people that partnered with MoonPay, who, you know, bought the apes for them as like a marketing play. So it was like two people talking up, pretending like they really resonated and cared about this stuff, but actually I don't think give much of a shit about it. And so then it was just this very awkward forced conversation about it that was very painful to watch.
It just seemed like, because I feel like Paris Hilton's been in the crypto streets for a while, and she just seems to confused, and Jimmy Fallon, he always comes off very fake and like overly excited about things. Just it was awkward.
I mean, it's also one of those moments too where it's like JPEGs worth money, scarcity, you know, we can verify ownership. But at the end of the day, fucking talking about this shit like in person, it is really dumb. And you just sound so stupid the more you talk about it like out loud in a forum like that too. It just was like, it basically just put the stupidity of it all on display in a very stark way.
I mean, that was the problem for me is when I told my wife I want to buy a punk, she's like, so tell me why. What do you think? I'm like, It's good. It's fun. A lot of people, smart people buy it. I don't know. And she's a financial planner. So she's on the other end of the spectrum. So it was a tough conversation that finally got through. I'm horrible at explaining it myself. I really am.
I like picturing you like printing out a photo of your punk and like setting it around his desk and being like, please put these on our financial books now. And she's just like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this image?
she's sad enough to understand it, but go, sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting with the Jimmy Fallon thing is you just made me think of this is like, there was never discussions like this around like their Picasso purchases, you know, or their baseball card collections. Right, they would have been like, "What are you? Why are you bringing this up?"
Well, because MoonPay didn't buy a Monet for them to then go and show off, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're being paid off, but just in general, like you said, like you were talking about in general conversation, like it's weird to talk about this. It's like actually, it is very weird. Like even if we try to compare it to historical things that aren't similar, but you know, similar enough, it is kind of weird.
Has any super rich guy that's also on Twitter like used an actual real life painting they own as their Twitter avatar? I feel like that would be a good bit for someone of just being like, oh yeah, this is my Salvador Dali actual painting, and it's now my real avatar.
That's a play right there. I like
someone
that.
Should. No, it's an expensive bit, but I think it'd be a good bit.
I mean, somebody has it already.
True. Petty, good luck this week in the Tournament of Champions. Have fun. Get us a photo of Whistles doing like a sake bomb at sushi or something.
Oh, I'll make it happen. I'll instigate that real quick. You know, no Bud Lights. We're going heavy, especially on DraftKings time. Hell yeah.
There you go. Brian, any final words here?
No, I don't expect any ownership or anything out of my site till I get back. So if anyone's looking for updates on the app or anything like that, I will just be in Florida for the next whatever days.
This is how I can tell how much of a vacation you're on. Can people expect the audio tonight?
No.
Okay. I love it.
If you really want me to, Pete, I can make that happen, but I don't have the logo. I don't have my computer.
No, Brian, on your site, is there like a last updated timestamp in like parentheses beers deep, how far you are?
just I should add a new page, yeah.
Just so people know.
Just a total tally throughout the week.
Yeah. How much did you have?
Did you see Brian on our show about 3 weeks ago?
Probably. What happened?
The one where he was blacked out.
I feel like he's had some tough shows lately, so we all kind of blend together.
Wow. Petty with the needle, an hour in. Have a great time in Arizona. Brian, enjoy the rest of your trip. We'll be back here next Wednesday. Thank you guys for watching.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.